Building on the text that Brother Gale used just a minute ago in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4, we read, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." You know, my generation, grandparents used to all have the same name. It was just grandma and grandpa, right? But today we all get unique names. My granddaughters call me Grumpy. That's my name. Within the next minute, you're going to know why. My generation likes to look down on the younger generation that's around today, and we like to criticize them as soft. I mean, they have to have safe places on their school campuses in case somebody hurts their feelings. That's soft, isn't it? But who made them? The ones who made them are my generation, and my generation can't figure out what a man is, much less what a strong man is. And so I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to talk about this topic this morning, and I want to start here. There are characters in the Bible that stand out to us. Maybe it's because of their faith. Maybe it's because of their courage. Maybe they were just in the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the wrong time, but they stand out. But there are other characters or other accounts that have multiple characters, and we tend to focus on one over the other. Like, did you know that Acts 13 is the beginning of the first missionary journey of Paul? Yeah. Well, Barnabas was there too. And there's an Old Testament account that I believe sets the background to what I want to talk about this morning. It's actually in Numbers chapter 13, and you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read the names of the characters in the account. And I don't have my glasses, so if I pronounce them wrong, it's not because they're hard to pronounce, it's because I can't read. Here it is. You ready? Shammua, Shaphat, Egal, Paltai, Gadiel, Gadai, Amiel, Sether, Nabi, and Gul. You remember all of them, don't you? You don't remember one of them, do you? Because we don't talk about them. We don't study about them. And that's because they were the 10 faithless spies that went into the land of Canaan and came back with a bad report. The ones we remember are Joshua and Caleb, right? Because they were not the majority. The majority doesn't change the world. If you show up at Stewart, that's my sermon tomorrow. The majority doesn't change the world. The majority goes with the flow. They just keep everything status quo. The minority changes the world. And Joshua and Caleb were the minority. I'm going to talk about Caleb this morning. I believe that Caleb is a hero. And by the way, if you want evidence of the fact of the minority changing the world, go read Hebrews 11. Not a single person in Hebrews 11 is in the majority. They're just not. And so they changed the world. So I want to use Caleb this morning, whatever time it is. I'm going to use Caleb. And I want to first recognize why God honored him as a hero for us. And then I want to talk about his challenges, his hurdles that he overcame to be that hero. First of all, I want you to realize the reason he's a hero is because he did not blend in. You know, we have all these spies, and I want you to put yourself in that place. Don't view Caleb as a character. Put yourself there. He's a real man. He had a real family just like we do. He dealt with the same types of limitations and struggles that we do. And so if you can put yourself there, you recognize that there are 12 men that go into this land and there are 12 men that come back. And every single one of them said the same thing. It's exactly what God said it was and more. Every single one of them said the same thing. There are giants in that land. And then the majority took off one way and said, we can't do this, because they were comparing themselves to the giant. And the minority, Joshua and Caleb, went the other way and said, we can do this, because they were comparing the giants to God. And so Caleb's the one who stood up in chapter 14 and said, let's do this. And so they decided to kill him. There are hurdles when you do the right thing. There are hurdles to being the leader in your home that you need to be. There are hurdles in you being the man that you need to be everywhere. challenges that we have to face, hardships that come at us. And I just want to identify very quickly, because of that clock, I want to be quick, but I want you to really try to put yourself in these situations. One of the things that Caleb dealt with, one of the things he had to overcome was his friends. I mean, these are the only people he's ever known. These are the people he grew up with, the people he played with, the people that he trusted. And now they're standing there and they're so opposed to him and his stand for God that they actually, in chapter 14, want to stone him to death. His friends. Can our friends ever give us advice that's contrary to what God wants for us? You know, occasionally I deal with counseling type of situations. Husbands and wives that are going through problems, and so they'll come and talk to me. And you know, almost every time what happens is the wife goes and talks to her friends, and the husband goes and talks to his friends, and I'll tell you, that never works. Because her friends are going to talk about how bad he is, and his friends are going to talk about how she ought to appreciate him more. Our friends can take us away from God. So who are we going to be? Are we going to trust that we're going to do the right thing no matter what's happening with the friends around us in this world? Or are we going to follow the majority? Well, Caleb's friend turned against him. His friends turned against him. But you know what he knew? He knew that there was a friend that stick closer than a brother, and that was God. He knew that. That's Proverbs 18:24, by the way. Caleb also overcame the hardship of his family. You know, it's not just his friends that are here. He's got family. This is his family. These are the people that ought to be nurturing him as he grows up with God. And maybe they did. I have to believe he had some kind of background. But now all of a sudden, they're not standing with him. They were a part of that generation above the age of 20. However many of them are still alive at this point, they're a part of that generation above the age of 20 that he's going to watch die. While he lives on, they're going to die. Family. You'd like to think that's the people you can always depend upon, but it's not, is it? It's not. I wonder how many people are not faithful to God because mom was such and such, religiously speaking. Or I know that's what the Bible says, but dad said this. Even further, I wonder, you know, we have a term in our vocabulary we use, we define it, we call them church widows. They're not people that are actually widows. They usually are women who are attending worship services alone because their husband won't go. Well, there are church widowers too, and here's the question that really hits home for me. If my wife and my children and the rest of my family chose to walk away from God, who would I choose to be? Could I choose him anyway? If I were studying through God's Word and I found the conclusion that my relationship with my wife is not what it ought to be, could I correct that for God? On top of that, I will tell you this, that Caleb's family, and I'm going to come back to this more in just a minute, but Caleb's family is from the Kenizzites. They're actually the ones that possess a portion of Canaan that he's preparing to go fight against because it's the right thing to do. I think that Caleb knew something Jesus would say in Matthew 10, beginning in verse 34 later in his ministry when he said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Is that a hurdle? Do I have to be strong enough to endure and be the man that God desires for me to be anyway? Absolutely. Third hurdle or challenge that Caleb dealt with is racial prejudice. That's a topic we need to be talking about today. Here's what we know about this Caleb. We know that he was from the tribe of Judah through his mother, but we know that he was a Kenizzite from his father's side. Do you know where those people came from? That means that on his mother's side, he came through Jacob, and on his father's side, he came through Esau. Yikes. I mean, those two were fighting in the womb, weren't they? And they're still fighting today. Okay, do you think that people looked at Caleb, since he came from this type of a background, and they thought, well, that's somebody that I really admire and look up to, or you think that was a hurdle for him? You know that God had just given the law at Mount Sinai. They'd been at Mount Sinai. They went to Kadesh Barnea. At Mount Sinai, God said, you're not going to be marrying these other nations. You're not going to have these marriages in this land because I got to protect a seed line. Yet his family was before that. Do you think that protected him from everybody looking at him differently now? I'll tell you what would happen. The same thing that happens today. And that is, we'd find every excuse in the world for Caleb to sit over there in his safe spot and be messed up the rest of his life. But Caleb's safe spot was God. And so he said, I'll be able to overcome all of these hurdles, all of these obstacles, all of these hardships because of God. Don't I need to learn that? I'll tell you something else. Caleb overcame the hurdle or the obstacle or the hardship of age. You know, by the time when these spies are sent to the land, best I can figure out, Caleb's somewhere around the age of 40, 38 to 40 years old. That's about how old he is when that account starts. And then when all of it ends, they go into the promised land and they're conquering. Of course, Moses has died and everybody above the age of 20 has died. Think about how many funerals he's seen. In fact, best I can figure out, he's the oldest warrior in the whole land. Now that's when you want to sit back and say, well, I'm retired now. I think it's time for the next generation to take over. And here's what Caleb said. Joshua 14, verses 10 through 12, he said this. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and that I will be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Here's what he said. Those same people are there. Those are the same people that the 10 spies came back and said, we can't take it. And now Caleb at 85 years old says, but God can take it. I said that 45 years ago. Don't you think he should be backing up and saying, well, 45 years ago God could have used me, but I'm tired. Listen, I'm tired, but my God's not tired, and he's always been the same God. Here's the thing. I think the secret to what happens with Caleb is that he learned that none of it was connected to his own strength. I think that's the same thing that Paul learned. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he has this opportunity to see things that we don't see, that we don't. It was a privilege to see. And when he came back, he had this thorn in his flesh that God had given to him, and he prayed over and over for God to take it away. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you, in your weakness I'm made strong. And Paul got that. Strong man is not about what I get the ability to do. It's not about how much I know. It's about the God who can use what I have, even as weak and feeble as it may feel to me. He can still use it. I've wondered to myself, I'm thankful that I wasn't around in the time that the scriptures were being recorded, because I don't want my mess ups to be recorded for you to study for the rest of your life. But I've been thinking about it, and I wonder if Hebrews 11 was written again today, would our names have been in there? If the account was today, would I have been a Caleb? Because that's what my family needs. It's what my friends need. That's what the people that are around me in my town and neighborhood need. It's what I need. Strong men in Christ keep going no matter what. I give my 10 seconds back to Gail because he used 10 seconds too much.